Welcome to the Wasatch Hills Church Podcast, a ministry of the Wasatch Hills Seventh-day Adventist Church with Pastor Bernie Anderson. Our prayer is that what you hear will inspire, equip, and perhaps introduce you to a new walk with Jesus Christ.
Thank you very much, Ron, and thank you for the bell choir. What a beautiful, piece they play, both of the choirs. The last time I stood here was in 1981, and I have to admit that this church at that time looked much more mature to me. For some reason, the church is looking younger, and I guess maybe that's a good thing. Lots of memories in this place. My wife and I were married 2 weeks before we moved to Salt Lake City. We had our wedding. We went on our honeymoon. We loaded up a trailer with all our belongings that we had in Colorado at the time. It was a U-Haul's smallest trailer, which was a good thing because we had a Volkswagen Beetle. And so I remember driving from Salt Lake City, from Denver to Salt Lake City with a Volkswagen Beetle pulling a trailer. It was not one of the trips that we made in record time. We arrived here, it was a little strange going from having been in need of a chaperone to being the chaperone almost overnight. I remember Sabbath afternoon Bible studies. I remember spending time down at school, Friday afternoon worships in Mr. Reader's room. I remember tape and keys used in ways that tape and keys weren't normally intended to be used. Don Reader is the master of that, if you have any questions. I remember coming to my office one day at Forest Lake Junior Academy to brush my teeth and squeezing my toothpaste and having a straw come up out of the toothpaste rather than the toothpaste. And for some reason, they had replaced the toothpaste with a straw. That was sort of a funny little thing. And one day as I was working in my office, the Reader clan left, turned on the burglar alarm, said goodbye, and left me unsuspecting there in the office. And I stepped out, and of course the motion sensor caught me, and this big burglar alarm right up my ear went off. And I was glad no one else was around when that happened. Lots of memories wrapped up in this place. Pat and I, when we came back yesterday, we drove around. We drove up to where our house had been up at Summit Park. And just relive some of those early memories. A blessing to be back. I had an advantage growing up. My advantage was that all my life growing up, I knew exactly what I wanted to be. There was never any question. I never had any wavering. There never was any doubt. From my earliest recollection, I remember being committed to Jesus, which I consider an incredible blessing. But I always knew what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a doctor. I studied to be a doctor. All throughout academy, I did all the pre-stuff that you needed to do to be a doctor. I went to college. I took pre-med. I wanted to be a missionary doctor. I had read lots of things about people that were out doing lots of good stuff out in the world. So with my pre-med, I took some religion classes. I was actually a religion major. So I was ready to go out and conquer the world. But when I graduated from college, Loma Linda at the time had a three-year, they were experimenting with a three-year, round-the-year program. You went to school during the summer and everything, real intense, and I just didn't feel ready to jump right from college into 3 years of intensive medical school. So I thought, well, I'll take a year out of college, I'll do something that will sort of refresh me, that will be good, and then I'll be ready to get back into it and finish up what I knew that I wanted to be. So I came here to Salt Lake City. Now, there were several things that I knew in my life that I didn't want to be. In fact, I knew them without a doubt, and there were some places that I knew I didn't want to live without a doubt. I have known all of my life that I never wanted to live in Florida. I have lived there now for 9 years. I knew I didn't want to live in Salt Lake City. I had driven through a number of times, and every one of the days that I drove through, it was one of those inversion days. You know, you drive down out and you feel like you're driving down into a soup of some sort. Or it was right in the middle of the summer when it was one of those really hot days and uncomfortable. And, you know, Interstate 80 driving through town isn't really that interesting. So I thought I never would want to live in Salt Lake City. I also knew that I never wanted to be a teacher. I knew I didn't want to be a minister. And I knew I especially never wanted to work at a boarding school. Those were things I knew without a doubt as I was growing up, as I went through high school and as I went through college. Just as a matter of interest, how many of you are doing exactly what you knew you wanted to do when you were younger? Okay, there are a few, and that's great. But of all the hands here, there weren't that many that went up. The Lord works in mysterious ways. I was just intending to come here to just have an experience that would help me move forward in my goal of becoming a missionary doctor. Well, what happened? Georgine alluded to it a little bit. I came here as a task force youth pastor. I enjoyed that time a lot. I enjoyed being down at the school. I ended up substitute teaching a couple times down at the school and found that was really enjoyable. Worked with some of the students that were down there. Became friends with them. The Reeder family became like a second family to us, as they have to so many through the years. Then... When I was asked to come to the school full time, to shift from here as the youth pastor to working at the school, I thought, well, you know, 2 or 3 months of this, I can endure this. I know I didn't want to be a teacher, but you know, I can do it. And so I did. I went down there. We had a great time. And I discovered after about a month of that I actually really enjoyed teaching. It was kind of fun. It was interesting working with young people on an everyday basis, not just, you know, once or twice a week, but to be living life with them, to be growing with them, to be helping them understand, having those aha moments. That was very rewarding. And later on that year, when Georgine came to me and asked if I would be willing to stay on, I had gone through the whole process. I explained, you know, I've always wanted to be a doctor. I knew that's what I was going to be. I've taken my MCAT exams. My grades are not quite as good as they probably should have been, but I'm sort of on the border where they're accepting people. So if I am accepted to medical school, I feel like that's what I need to do. And so we kept waiting to get that acceptance letter. And it didn't come, and it didn't come, and I was enjoying teaching. And we went from looking forward to being accepted to starting to dread being accepted to medical school. And when I opened the letter that I got from Loma Linda, I was afraid that it was going to say, "You have been accepted to the next medical class." And so there was rejoicing in our home when they said, "We know this will disappoint you greatly." It didn't. It didn't. And that changed my career. It changed my life. It changed the entire direction of where I was headed. But as I look back on my life before that, I was thinking, what sort of training do you get in college to be a 9th and 10th grade teacher and a junior academy and a principal? You know, there isn't a course of study in that. I went back to school and got some education classes. It was interesting. I actually did my student teaching my third year here. Merlin was my supervising teacher. I signed his check. It worked out really good. But the training that I had in college was actually perfectly suited for what I was asked to do here. Because of my pre-med, I had almost a minor in math and science. So I was qualified to teach the 9th and 10th grade levels of math and science. As a religion major, I'd had a lot of history, a lot of writing, a lot of those sorts of things. So I was able to teach Bible comfortably. I was able to teach English comfortably. I was able to teach history comfortably. The education that I had had actually prepared me exactly for the job that I received here. Whereas if I had been thinking I would have gotten this job, I couldn't have designed a better educational plan to have prepared me for it. God at work in spite of me. He didn't let me in on the plan. He let me just think what I was going to think of all the things I didn't want to be or all the things that I knew that I wanted to be. Salt Lake City and the years here have influenced the direction of my life in so many ways. I was privileged when I left here. I went to Campion Academy, and we worked with a drama team there, something that was just intended to be a little something, which ended up being something that really grew. And that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't stayed here in Salt Lake City for the years that I had stayed here. And so as I look back on my life, there are so many things that I see that were ordered by Jesus that I had no idea that he was ordering. I had no idea that he was putting these things into place. And he was just quietly putting them into place, knowing what I would need, knowing how I would be best prepared to do the things that he had for me to do through the years. And all he was looking for me to just keep walking, just keep saying yes to him, keep moving in the direction that he was nudging me. Now, lest anyone get the idea that I have done that perfectly, I have not. It's pretty easy to look at someone who's standing and talking and think, well, boy, it's been great for them, but I'm living real life. Well, I've lived real life too. And as much as I hate to admit it, there have been those times when I haven't heard God's voice or I have chose not to listen. Those weren't particularly good times. But God is there in those times too. God uses those times. And there's just a couple of lessons that I have learned through this walk. First of all, following God's plan for your life brings the most fulfillment, brings the most reward, unleashes creativity in ways that you could never imagine, and provides opportunities that you would never expect. Following God's plan will be the greatest adventure that you can ever be on. And there's no other way that I can describe it. God has something in mind that's special for every person. And following it, only in following it, will you find who you really are and what you are really intended to do and what you are best at. Following God's plan. Something else that I've learned is that comfort and wealth are not necessarily a good measure of if you have followed God's plan. there are people that will tell you that if you follow God's plan perfectly, you will become wealthy and you'll always be happy and everything will be rosy and cheering. And somehow they feels like they are ignoring big portions of Scripture. And if you look at the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus, who followed God's plan more than she did, and think of the pain that she went through in her life, besides all the fulfillment and the understanding, but it wasn't especially always pleasant, right? And what about Esther? She had kind of a storybook existence, but, you know, she was torn away from her home. She became queen, and that was great. But then she risked her life, and that scared her, if you read the story. It was tough. It was hard for her to step forward and follow God's plan. It's easy when we know the end. Oh, sure, she should have done that, because we know how it turned out. But looking ahead, she didn't know. She didn't know that things would work out right. And what about the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace? Following God's plan for them was tough. And when they were asked about it, they told the king, they said, you know, it doesn't really matter. You can give us another chance. We're not going to change. We're going to follow God's will for us. And it worked out well for them, didn't for everybody. Jesus, our ultimate example. If anyone should have had, you know, been infinitely wealthy, if he did everything right, it would have been Jesus, right? If anyone should have been very, you know, just have everything comfortable and easy, it should have been Jesus, because he did everything right. He was fulfilled. He understood God's plan. He followed it. And while there were times of it that were tough, very tough, it made a difference. So following God's plan is not necessarily always comfy and profitable, but it is always good. It is always the best thing. If you've gotten off track in following God's plan, if you have had the experience like I have from time to time of getting derailed, getting too focused on myself, my problems, whatever those things are, God is the master of getting us back on track. Those of you that are young, and I see many of you here, and of course, when you get to be more mature like I am, everybody looks young. But not everybody, but most everybody. But if you commit yourself to Jesus now when you're young, that will be incredible. It'll make a big difference in your life. It will enable you to live a life full of purpose and not have regrets when you get to be older. Not have things to look back on that you wish that you would have done so differently. And if you are older, more mature, and you have strayed, it's not too late to follow God's plan now. Because God is the master of taking us where we are and bringing us to where he wants us to be. Even if we have gotten way off track, God wants to take us from where we are to where he wants us to be. And how is it that we do that? Three things. Number one, you commit yourself to Jesus. You just tell him, I want to be a part of you. I want you to be a part of me. I want to be going where you want me to go. Number two, you look at your life right now and you say, okay, how can I serve Jesus best right now, right where I am? And you start living to honor God in your present situation, in your present work, in your present, and doing the best that you can do, being the best that you can be in Jesus right now. And then you start looking for those nudges, those opportunities where God will push you one way or another, those Salt Lake City experiences where God will bring you someplace to do something different than you thought you were going to do, and all of a sudden it turns into something that changes the direction of your life. There are two promises that I would like to leave you with. And these are God's promises, not mine. So you can count on them for sure. The first is in Jeremiah 29. And this will be familiar to many of you. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. God has a plan for you, for your life from this day forward through eternity. One thing we can know for sure about God's plan for you is that He plans for you to be with Him forever. Your journey to get there may be different than mine, but that's in God's hands. The other verse that I would like to leave you with is in Psalms. Psalms 32, verse 8. And again, this is God speaking. This is His promise to you. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. When you don't know what the plan is, when you don't know what the next step is, you can count on the fact that the Lord will somehow let you know and will somehow move you in the direction you need to move if you are looking to Him. My challenge to all of us today is that we will move forward with God in His plan for our lives and to find out what it is that He really wants to make us for now and for eternity.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Wasatch Hills Church Podcast. For information about the Wasatch Hills Church, please visit us on the internet at www.wasatchhills.org, or you may email Pastor Bernie Anderson at pastor@wasatchhills.org.